Retail Relief, brought to you by BRC Learning. Hi, I'm Jags Dohili. Welcome to Retail Relief. This podcast is here to empower retailers with the knowledge, hints, and tips to get through this chaotic time. Today, we are joined by an award-winning and best-selling author, presenter, and keynote speaker. She is also an international consultant specializing in life skills. She focuses on easily digestible ways to break down intricate subject matter, especially in her bite-sized books. Introducing Liggy Webb. Welcome, Liggy. How are you?
Oh, hi, Jags. I'm really well, thank you. And it's lovely to be here with you. I'm really looking forward to this chat.
So are we. So take a moment to introduce yourself to our retailers.
Oh, well, my name's Liggy Webb, and I'm very passionate about distilling complexity and making things very practical. So I work as an international consultant with loads of organisations all over the world, which has been a really interesting journey. But I'm also a passionate researcher and writer. So I've written nearly 30 books now, including my bite-sized book library on a series of different topics. But essentially, they are all geared to be able to help people to be able to thrive, particularly in challenging times.
Fantastic. We're so excited for you to guide us through some of the actionable tips to help our retailers, especially to increase their behavioral agility. So during this horrific pandemic, it's brought to light the adaptability of the human race, how fast businesses have sprung forward into home working space. And some have even increased productivity because of that. Individuals have adjusted to this new reality, fighting the stresses of isolation and the uncertainty ahead. So the retail landscape is currently split into two polar opposites. Some businesses, such as supermarkets, are thriving as they're feeding the nation. Others are struggling as they may not have been deemed as essential. What do you think retailers can be doing to help them deal with the uncertainty surrounding them?
Well, there certainly is a lot of uncertainty about, and I think, you know, one of the key things that we have to be careful about is not trying to second guess everything that's going to happen or fill in the gaps of information and start to awfulize and catastrophize about, you know, all the awful things that could happen. I think sometimes we do that when we've got gaps of information. I mean, we are predisposed as human beings to react to uncertainty with fear, and then that can trigger all sorts of stress. So we need to be a little bit more sophisticated in our thinking and override, if you like, some of those natural reactions and be a lot more responsive. You know, my biggest tip that I would ever give to any organization at a time like this is to get a really good balance between urgency and diligence, and making sure that, you know, we pace ourselves through these times is really key.
You mentioned reacting to uncertainty with fear. So talk to me a bit more about that. How does that come about?
Well, I think if you go back to our ancestors, it was quite useful that any kind of, you know, uncertainty, we would react with fear, because it helped us to be able to protect ourselves. But what it also did was triggered our stress hormones, because we got prepare ourselves for battle. So what we need to be able to do is to be more responsive. And what I mean by this is we have reactive behavior and responsive behavior. And sometimes those two words are used simultaneously, but they are completely different, because being reactive is acting on your autopilot. It's doing what you've always done. And if you want different outcomes, you have to be prepared to do things differently, because if you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always got. So being responsive is about being able to step back and just to be able to consider your options. You know, my dad gave me one of the best bits of advice ever. And he said to me, if you want to go a bit faster, slow down. And I think that's really important, because so often, you know, we can start to panic and we can start to be reactive. We start to shoot from the hip and we don't necessarily respond in the most intelligent or smart way. So this is about, you know, considering our options, gaining perspective, and finding pace and balance, particularly in these very sort of challenging and uncertain times.
That piece of advice from your dad, you know, if you want to go faster, slow down. That's so thought-provoking. So how have you used that in the last couple of years, or even just in the recent couple of months with the pandemic?
Oh, well, a lot, actually. I mean, I work with quite an eclectic mix of clients, and some of the discussions that we've had over the last few months have been really interesting. I noticed particularly, you know, if we go way back to kind of Easter time, and I think lots of people were, you know, thinking we've got to do all these things and we've got to do them, we've got to do them now. Actually, we don't have to do everything all at once. And a lot of the conversations that I was certainly having with my clients was, okay, let's just slow down, let's gain some perspective, and let's think about what we can do to pace ourselves. Because you hear that expression, don't you? This isn't a sprint, it's a marathon. And in order to be able to run the marathon, you've got to be able to pace yourself in a way that is sustainable. Because stress burnout right now is at an absolute height, I would say.
Perspective is key at the moment, and I think slowing down helps you gain that. So that's a brilliant point to put forward, Liggy. Why do you think behavioural agility is so important in this current climate?
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because we talk a lot about being adaptable. I mean, I do tons of work around human resilience, and this is all about how we can adapt to changing situations. However, we are also living in the fourth industrial revolution of rapid change, because obviously technology, globalization, all of these things propel us into a space where we're having to adapt a lot quicker. And it's that speed and agility and responsiveness that is going to help us and every organization to be able to thrive in the 21st century, for sure. So when I talk about agility is much more about our ability to flex. It's our ability to be able to adapt to situations quickly. And obviously for many people, we have to keep a lot of balls in the air as well. So that cognitive flexibility is very powerful as well. So behavioural agility, you know, that sort of being able to adapt and do it quickly is really important.
And explain to us, so we've talked about behavioural agility, but what exactly does behavioural agility mean?
We looked at agility a few years ago. It's one of those kind of buzzwords that everybody's talking about, and I really wanted to kind of understand it, because, you know, I know in technological terms and IT, you know, we'll use the term agile working, and I think we get mixed up sometimes with definitions. And what I wanted to do was hone in on behavioral agility very specifically, to kind of understand what would be the core competencies, what would be the core behaviours of a really kind of agile person. So I designed a model. I wanted to make it really clear and really simple. So I actually took the word agile and I created a model, and agile, so I'll explain what it stands for. It stands for, the A is for adaptability. The G is about being genuine. So it's about, you know, even though you've got to kind of adapt to situations, it's staying true to yourself and your core values. The I is about innovation, because this is, well, we're living in an I, and, you know, to be better than the competition, we've got to turn some of those ideas into something quicker than our competitors. So being innovative is really key, how we implement those great ideas. And then the L was about being light, because I absolutely believe when it comes to agility, we need to be kind of nimble thinkers. We need to be light on our feet. So we don't want to be carrying too much baggage. So working in a really lean way is something that's very helpful. And then the E actually stood for enduring, because this ties very much into what we talked about before, about keeping well paced, but also being resilient, because to be enduring through challenging times, to be able to thrive, we need to be resilient. And true resilience is about our recovery through challenging situations. It's about getting through setbacks in the most positive way and looking after ourselves. So there's a great need for self-care. That's a big part of resilience. So I've been working with that model for quite a while now, but I think that kind of, if you like, breaks down the core behaviours of what behavioural agility is all about.
I love that. So being adaptable, genuine, innovative, light and enduring. breaking it down into those simple, understandable statements really helps people remember that. And have you used this quite often recently, more than before?
Yeah, well, I've been using it for a few years actually now with organisations that I work with. And I wrote a little book called Behavioural Agility, which is forms part of my bite-sized book library. And it's on the top five favourites of those. So that's been quite interesting. But it's an area that is quite useful to just sort of break those things down. So yeah, I've been working, well, before, in the days where we could see each other face to face, I was doing quite a lot of face-to-face workshops and presentations, but myself and my team, we've adapted this now to online, so we've been doing loads of webinars and short bite-sized interactive groups. So we've been using that model, and we've had some great feedback, you know, people saying that they really like the fact that we'd broken it down and made it very clear, because I think there's a bit of ambiguity around, you know, what people understand about behavioral agility and agile working and all those different things in the mix. So it's been great to do that and to get the feedback.
You know, we're looking at our retailers who are on the road, who are listening to the news on the radio as they're delivering, making deliveries, and those people in store who may be, you know, really focusing on what they're doing, but also quite overworked. They may also be surrounded by different messages through the news and social media. What techniques could help retailers become as comfortable as they can within this uncertain time?
Well, there's a couple of things really. I mean, I think we don't always need to be comfortable. I think being comfortable with being uncomfortable sometimes can be helpful, because we're being challenged quite a bit. We're being tested, aren't we? So being okay with that. There is a lot of change about at the moment, and more so I think than we've ever experienced, and that added to the mix with all the uncertainty can be quite exhausting. So I think prioritizing well-being is absolutely key. I think people need to understand that they are human beings, and they need to understand that they will have fragilities and you know, vulnerabilities, and only so much capacity. So certainly kind of looking after well-being and pacing ourselves, but also understanding that some of the challenges that we're currently facing, ultimately, they can teach us some of the best lessons. We're going to learn a lot. You know, we talk about innovation being an important part of behavioral agility. And a big part of innovation is putting those great ideas into implementing those ideas into action. So the creative process right now is quite exciting, really. It's giving us an opportunity to explore and experiment. And we need to be creative as human beings. You know, it's good for our mental health. It's good for our future employability as well, because creativity and empathy are two things that we have as human beings. And, you know, a world of AI, it sets us aside from robots, doesn't it? So, you know, our ability to be creative and empathetic is really important. So whilst there are a lot of challenges at the moment, is in embracing some of those, you know, difficulties, they will help us to be more resilient for sure.
So uncertainty, you know, really does kick in that space where you're out of your comfort zone and you're in this new space where you start to learn and pick up and think about new skill sets that you want to flex. You're right, there is definitely scope for that. Even though there's huge amounts of stress and uncertainty around us, there's also this moment where the world has pressed pause for a moment. So it'll be really interesting to see where the next, you know, the next steps are as firstly as human evolution, but also just where society is going now. I think there are also some retailers who are now facing continuous downsizing. So what techniques or you know, tips could anyone at risk of redundancy or those that have been made redundant utilize to empower them through this difficult time?
Well, I think one of the key things, and I suppose it comes to, you know, resilience particularly, is that we go through all sorts of experiences in our lives. You know, life is a rich tapestry of, you know, great things that happen and some not great things that happen. And, if we're not careful, when we're in a particularly different situation, we can become a bit stuck and believe that, you know, this is our life. But actually, this is only part of our life. We've got, you know, the whole journey. And being able to be curious, if there's one tip that I would give anybody in a difficult situation or a difficult time, is to be curious, is to ask yourself the most valuable question, and that is, what can I learn from this situation? Because most of the best learning that we do in our lives isn't necessarily when everything goes really well. It's when we're tested. It's when we experience challenges. And so often we lose the opportunity to actually stop and ask ourselves, you know, what we can learn from that situation, and to be able to see problems as opportunities. Something that I've learned, it's a technique that I use on a regular basis, but I use this word probtunity, which is about taking the word problem and the word opportunity and kind of fusing them together. So whenever I'm in a problematic situation, I automatically start to think, what is the opportunity in this? So it's a couple of things there. It's being able to reframe some of your thinking, and that can be really helpful. It's about seeing challenges as an opportunity to be able to grow, and being curious. I think that is really, really key. And acknowledging that this time will pass, you know, 12 months from now, your life could be in a completely different situation as well. So being able to see challenging times are just part of the journey. You know, it is a hurdle. It is something to get through, but it is just part of the whole journey, because what that helps you to do is to take away, if you like, the intensity of the situation you're in. It helps you to create hope, because hope on the horizon is something that is really helpful in terms of moving us through difficult situations, and acknowledging that, you know, very often it's these times that will make us stronger.
You make a fantastic point about, you know, there could be a moment 6 months from now where you're in a completely different mind and emotional space, but also flipping that on its head where, you know, think about all the hard times you've gone through in your past and look where you've got to today. That also can help motivate you for those next steps.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good point, Jags, because being able, when you're going through a difficult time, to remind yourself about, you know, times in the past where you've got through difficult situations, to be able to remind yourself about past successes. You know, I think this time at the moment where there is a lot of redundancy, there's a lot of insecurity, that can really challenge our self-confidence. But I think then it's reminding yourself that this isn't necessarily about you. It's about the circumstances that the world has found itself in, and other people will be experiencing this, and being able to invest in yourself and remind yourself of all the positive things you've experienced and all the things that you are hopeful for the future as well is really powerful and really key.
I love that feeling about being hopeful for the future. It's so important, Liggy, you know, especially when we're talking about the situations and scenarios that people may be in right now, whether they're overworked, underworked, redundant, or in a space where they're in limbo, where they're unsure of what's going to happen. That future focus, but even that moment of reflection, can really help ground them. I think that's something that is really important right now, is that grounding and that focusing on the present moment.
Yeah, and I think that something there is that you've spoken about being grounded, about being focused on that present moment. You know, the best that we can do for the future is doing the absolute best that we can do today in the here and now. And it's also reminding ourselves of the things that we can be grateful for. And I'll just share a story with you, and it's something that has really stuck in my mind, and it was quite a profound experience for me. A few years ago, I was actually asked to go out to Afghanistan to go and do some work for the United Nations in Kabul. And I'd never been there before, and I didn't know what it was going to be like. But I met one of the nationals there, somebody who'd never actually left Afghanistan before. And we used to have lots of philosophical conversations about life and, you know, resilience and how we get through situations. And we talked about gratitude. We talked about being grateful in our life, you know, for different things. And he shared this with me. And I think this is really powerful, even in the most difficult times and the most difficult circumstances. He said there are three things in life we can all be grateful for. And I'll share them with you. First one was, as long as we've got something to do, as long as we've got a purpose, we can be grateful. As long as we've got something to love, you know, whether that's a person, something we're passionate about. But most important of all, he said, as long as we've got something to hope for, because that hope on the horizon is what keeps us going. It's what keeps us going. And I think being able to visualize hope, you know, even in the most difficult times, in our mind's eye, creating that vision, that place where you would like to be in the future, and creating that whole sensory experience, you know, what's it look like? What's it sound like? What's it feel like? And to be able to transport ourselves there is something that can be really, really helpful.
That is so powerful, Liggy, that story. Thank you for sharing that. I think that really brings to life that the harder situations, wherever you are in the world, those three aspects are so important. And hope itself is what drives a lot of people. When you lose that hope is the scariest part.
Yeah.
So there are people who are now, you know, working on the front line, who are continuously putting themselves at risk. What techniques could they use to ensure that they don't burn out or get ill from the exhaustion or stress?
Well, it's interesting because I'm doing a lot of work with frontline workers. Interestingly enough, I'm actually doing quite a big piece of work with the NHS around stress, burnout, and how to avoid burnout. So I can give you some very tangible tips there. A while ago, I created a model around stress intelligence, and it kind of looks at five areas. So the first one is to be really aware, stress awareness of, you know, what are your triggers, what takes you to that point? Because stress isn't the enemy. We need a bit of stress in our bodies to help us, to galvanize us, to protect us. But it's when it gets overwhelming and it leads us to exhaustion that we need to be really careful. So understanding what your triggers are, how it manifests itself. So, you know, what happens to you when you get stressed, and what do you do about it? Do you have a plan in place of what you do to kind of manage that? And the other part is to just understand really what happens to us when we get stressed, you know, how we're affected by those stress hormones. But the three key areas that I really focus on is around self-care, lifestyle management, and everyday energy. So looking at each of those different components, and I would say that, you know, top of the list is prioritizing time for self-care. You know, I'm hearing a lot of people saying you've got to look after yourself, got to be kind to yourself. All of those things are really important, but we need to know exactly how we do that and how we manage our time, because very often when we get stressed, if we're not careful, we start reaching out for all the unhealthy coping mechanisms, which compound the problem. So it's being aware of all the little things that you can do, all the micro steps that you can take to really diffuse, if you like, the intensity of that stress, to be able to create a bit of a release and to be able to really look after yourself, physically and emotionally.
So you mentioned unhealthy coping mechanisms. Could you give an example of what an unhealthy coping mechanism would be and what a healthy coping mechanism could be?
Well, you know, a classic example, and I've chatted to quite a few people about this, emotional eating. That's a, you know, perfect example of when people get really stressed and they're going towards burnout, because suddenly they start to, you know, crave and want to eat lots of sweets, or, you know, maybe drink more alcohol, or all the things, big cakes, things that, you know, aren't going to help us, maybe drink loads of coffee. So really looking at the quality of food and drink that you're ingesting. So making sure that, you know, rather than reaching out for all the unhealthy stuff, you start to think about, you know, what can I do to really help myself? So keeping hydrated, drinking loads of water. The NHS recommend between 6 to 8 glasses of water a day. But, you know, we underestimate how important hydration is. So drinking water, even things like chopping up fruit and vegetables and having them in a tub in the fridge or near to you. So when you're craving something, you reach out for something that's quite healthy. Other things as well that people do when they're stressed is, you know, maybe they just go into kind of isolation. They don't want to go outside. They don't want to, you know, encounter anybody. But being able to wrap yourself up nice and warm, particularly in the winter, and getting outside and getting fresh air and getting that all important vitamin D, that is really going to help to be able to, you know, balance and manage your stress levels. So it's just being aware really of what your habits are when it comes to stress, and making sure that you implement some good, healthy coping mechanisms.
And then finally, do you have any advice that you can give to anyone that is struggling right now?
Yes, I do. I think there's a few things. First of all, an acknowledgement that this time will pass. You know, we are not stuck. That's the one great thing about life. You know, it does change, even though we might be resistant to some changes. The fact that it does change can be a very good thing. So, you know, we're not stuck. This time will pass. I think the other thing as well is that, you know, we have tens of thousands of thoughts a day, and being able to reframe some of that thinking, a really important question to ask yourself when you're getting really anxious is ask yourself, what else could this mean? And just step back and gain a perspective, a broader perspective around this. Something else that I would absolutely say is to invest in your well-being, because if you look after yourself and you know, you're really being mindful of your mental health, your physical health, your environmental health, everything that you can do to make yourself feel as good as you can, then this will help. But one of the biggest tips of advice always that I would suggest to people who are struggling, remember, it's just one small micro step at a time. You know, it's identifying things that bring you joy in your life, and it could just be a little thing. So when you feel overwhelmed, take action, because that's one of the best antidotes for anxiety. But don't overwhelm yourself by taking on too much. It's just the little steps that you can take that are really important. And then finally, you know, in that kind of little selection kit there, do reach out. Because one thing that we all need to understand is we're all in it together. You know, at the moment, we're all in the same storm. We're all in different boats, however, and we're all being affected in different ways. But we're all in the same, you know, sort of situation, that, and to be able to talk about it, we don't need to be afraid to be real, because that's what this is all about. It's about being human. And we are all going to experience a whole cocktail of emotions, and knowing that we can reach out and get support from others is really important.
Thank you, Liggy. Thank you so much for your time and energy today. What fantastic takeaways for our retailers, from the agile model to uncertainty leading to creativity and growth, from purpose, love and hope for the future to stress not being the enemy. Just thank you so much for the wealth of topics we have covered today.
Oh, and thank you. It's been an absolute delight, Jazz. I've really enjoyed that. And thank you for inviting me to chat to you.
You're very welcome. So if you have enjoyed this episode, remember to subscribe so you are notified when a new episode is posted. Share this podcast with your fellow retailers and colleagues to spread the word, because knowledge is power.